Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. I'm going to do a sermon dressed in a blue suit, and I'm going to see if it looks like a talking head out of the lake. But as I said last time, this is not the Sea of Galilee, but nevertheless, here we are. Now, let's look at some of the things that we've seen take place in the world today. Think about the tornadoes that we have had just this past week. Terrible tornadoes with winds well over 200 miles an hour. And there was one tornado that was so huge, that was so big, that it stayed on the ground for what? How many miles was that? 60. Over 160 miles and wiped everything out. And you look at all of that. Now, that reminded me of the tsunami in Japan. Can God wipe things out in nothing flat? So you can come from poverty to penury in seconds with no recovery. With no recovery. And people ask, why does God do this? Well, part of the reason is people expect to live in sin and receive the blessings of God. Okay, so now let's add on to that list. And it looks like there are going to be some more tornadoes this coming week because it's very cold here in California. And as that moves east, it's going to add to the problem of the heat coming up from the Gulf of Mexico. And guess what's going to happen? More tornadoes. About the only thing you can hope for, it'll get rid of the debris. All right, we have wars, don't we? Earthquakes. We've had earthquakes in Haiti, Chile, New Zealand, Japan, the year before in Indonesia. We've had volcanoes blow off. We've had tsunamis. And they now have some other pictures of the tsunami in Japan. And that was devastating. I mean, some of those boats were taken miles inland and coming down to the west coast from the Japanese current coming around Alaska down to Oregon. They've got floating cars and floating pieces of wood all from Japan. Then we had the tornadoes there, floods and rain, North Dakota, Minnesota, drought, Texas, Oklahoma, and then we have the radiation from the Fukushima nuclear plants there. And I read a report. Now, I didn't bring it with me, but all the scientists are absolutely flabbergasted because there are particles coming out from the sun that are neutralizing the radiation in the air. Very interesting indeed. But what's got them all upset, not that it's getting rid of the radiation, but what it's doing is it's destroying their theory of carbon 14 dating, where they date because it has radiation deteriorates at a regular rate. Now they know it doesn't. So this adds to their problem. How old is this bone? In addition to the transfer of minerals from the ground to the bone, see? So they're all, it says in the article, they're emailing each other. What does this mean? How are we going to answer this? Oh, our theories are lost. Well, God says back there in Romans, the first chapter, that when God manifested himself to it through the creation to them, they rejected them, they rejected him, they rejected the evidence, declared themselves wise, and became fools. And so now here they are scurrying around trying to figure out, well, how are we going to explain this? Well, you better look to God, all right? Then we have all of the upset in the nations, the roaring of the nations. Here in America, we have drugs, we have crime, we have murder, we have thievery, we have problems with banking. Oh, by the way, this is the last month. People who receive Social Security by check are going to get a check. you either get a bank account and have direct deposit, or you don't get it. And it's going to save the government $1 billion a year in postage. Just what the post office needs. See? Okay. Now, they also have, they have set aside Salt Lake City as a test city for the WAVE purchasing system, which is this. You have a credit card, or you have an iPhone, you have an iPad, you have a BlackBerry, and you just wave it in front of the reader, automatically the money comes out of your account. So in the sermon up north, when I gave it up north, Bob McElwee pulled out a new card that was sent to him from Chase Manhattan, and here's that little chip in the back, and he read the instructions, and guess what it's for? WAVE technology. Now, they're going to set up the whole city that way, from buses to banks, stores, even individuals. Now, they're developing, and you can do it on your iPhone. You can swipe a card on an iPhone, or you can buy a portable swiper. Now, that's not to steal, by the way, where you can swipe a card. See? What do you have there? A swiper. I'm a swiper. You're a what? Why'd you get out of jail? Okay. But you come within 4 feet of it, and bam. Now, what's going to happen? What if you left your iPhone on the bus and it's got everything about you there? See, because people no longer use their brains, they use their cell phones to put everything on. Your name, your address, all your friends, all your contacts. Now it will have all your banking information. So if you think identity theft was a problem before, just wait. So what is that going to do? What's the solution to that? On the right hand or on the forehead? So the last step before the mark of the beast is being launched right now. Okay? Now, let's continue on with our list here. You got the problems with banking, lying, cheating, stealing, murder, corrupt government, oh, from the top down, blinded, stupid, arrogant, in almost every nation of the world. And then you have all the religions and false gods, witchcraft, demon worship, idolatry, and then you got the problems with the churches of God. And then on top of that, you've got Satan deceiving the people, and it's like over every capital city in the world, there's a big cap right over the top of it. So no truth can enter in. And those few that want to bring the truth are ridiculed. And we have such a hypocritical president that he stands up there and says, oh, we need civility. We don't need running down and belittling people. So what does he do? First speech out of the chute concerning his new budget for 2011. And he has lined up right in front of him on the first row all of those in the Republican Party who are all set to cut the budget. And he ridicules them. He puts them down. He shames them. He mocks them. And, you know, makes you wonder, is Washington, D.C. capable of doing anything? It's hard in London. It's hard in Paris. It's hard in the other capitals of the world. Look at Japan now. After the earthquake and the tsunami and the nuclear disaster that they have. So everyone wants everything to go well, even though they do every man what is right in his own eyes. Okay? Now, come to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. Let's go there first. Because let's see the cause of it. And we're going to find out who is to blame, because, you know, you always want to blame someone. But it's awfully hard to blame someone for an earthquake or tornadoes or hurricanes or drought or floods except God. And let's see why he would do that. Okay? 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. This also know that in the last days perilous times shall come. We're living in them, aren't we? You know, I heard on the news going up to church this morning. A young girl was on a public bus in San Francisco. She was smart. She had a can of pepper spray. And two men were trying to molest her, so she grabbed her pepper spray. Because she was afraid getting on the public bus in the daytime. Well, she got away. Okay, here's the whole reason. Men will be lovers of self. Now, what are we to be lovers of? God. So we're looking upon ourselves as gods. And I think some people actually believe that. Okay? Lovers of money, you know, like the movie, greed is good. Now, notice what else? Braggarts, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. All of those things, rampant, without natural affection, throwaway babies, abortion, homosexuality, implacable, you can't talk to them, their hearts are hardened as can be, slanderers, without self-control, savage, despisers of those who are good, reckless, betrayers, egotistical, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And boy, isn't that so? Yes, indeed. Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday, all the sports, right? Rather than putting them on another day, what do they do? The churches try and accommodate their schedule around the sports event so they can get people to come to church. That's how much they love God. Having an outward appearance of godliness, but denying the power of true godliness. But as for you, turn away from all these. Now let's ask the question, what does God expect us to do? All right? God says, let's come back here to Leviticus 26. God says, as you're turning to Leviticus 26, that he judges the nations. If a nation is that he's going to bless, do good to, does evil, he'll stop the blessing. But if the nation will repent of its evil, he'll repent of the evil that he thought to do to it. Now, that's all nations. And today, the end time, we're dealing in all the nations. But let's see what God expects. You want the blessings of God? You want things to go well in your life? You want the favor of God? Well, let's look at Leviticus 26, verse 1. Notice how he starts out. You shall make no idols to yourself, and do not set up for yourself graven images or a standing pillar, and you shall not set up any image of stone in your land in order to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. Do we have a lot of idolatry? Oh, yes. Around all the churches, we got idolatry in sports, don't we? Where you can buy the jackets, you can buy the shoes, and they all have their own little god, don't they? Bears, hawks, you know, what else do they have? Panthers, okay, all they have to have some. There's even one team, one college, that they have spiders. Anything but God. See? Now notice what he says here, verse 2. You shall keep my Sabbaths. Notice that's plural. That includes the holy days. And reverence my sanctuary. And this means the sanctuary in heaven above for us, does it not? Yes, indeed. I am the Lord. You want the blessings? So here he goes. If, conditional. Now, if we meet these conditions, God will bless us. Now, this is parallel to Deuteronomy 28. It's considerably shorter. but it's parallel. So also put in your notes and margin, read Deuteronomy 28 all the way through. And trust me, when you get done, you will be almost burdened down with how bad it's going to get. And even though we've lived through a lot of things, we don't know how bad it's going to get. You know, you could have motorcycle gangs and M13 gangs and, you know, the Nation of Islam, and you could have other gangs get together and they could divvy up all the United States, blow up major bridges, stop all shipment, blow up rail lines, stop all shipments. You think how fast that there would be chaos and starvation? Almost overnight. So he says, if, which means it's up to us and it's our choice. Do we believe God? Will we do it? If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, here's what he'll give. I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach to the vintage, and the vintage shall reach to the sowing time. And you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. Now, like I pointed out this morning, when Solomon did what he did and did not repent, God raised up adversaries. The adversaries were from Esau, Edomites. And they went down into Egypt for protection. Sound a little familiar today? And went up into Syria to build their base. And they were terrorists against the Israelites during the reign of Solomon. Well, the terrorists that we had come against us, God raised up to punish the whole nation for their sins. See? Oh, we haven't had any incidences since then. Just wait. If you don't turn to God, you can't stop them forever. And you shall eat bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land. And you shall lie down and none shall make you afraid. And I will cause evil beasts to cease out of the land. Neither shall the swords go through your land. Well, you know, today there are wild dogs in Chicago that they've even attacked and eaten up people. Oh, you don't read that much in the press because that's the president's city and we can't have anything bad come from there. That's something? Florida, alligators and pythons. New Jersey, bears. Okay, what else do we have here? Okay. How about rats and mice carrying bubonic plague? You know, there are more rats in New York City sewers than there are people. Okay, here we go. Someone just handed me an article. Armadillos can transmit leprosy to humans. But they eat them down in Texas. God says don't eat the unclean. God has a reason for it, because he loves you. He doesn't want you to be sick. He doesn't want you to do these things. But you see, each one of us have choices. What are we going to do? Everyone watch what I'm reading here. Verse 7. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Five of you shall chase 100, 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. What is it with the terrorist? Five chase 100, right? And 100 put 5,000 to flight, right? And it shows here, for I will have respect to you, verse 9, will make you fruitful and multiply you. That's what people want. And establish my covenant with you. Now notice, this if goes before every one of the commands as we go down here. And you shall eat of the old provision and clear away the old because of the new, and I will set my tabernacle among you, which he did. You want God to be with you? Yes, right there at the temple. Yes, right there at the tabernacle. and from the churches of God and all the stupidity you're going through and the foolishness that you are doing. God is in you. So you think of what kind of judgment God is going to bring upon you. Verse 12, and I will walk among you and will be your God, and you will shall be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from being their bondsmen, and I have broken the bonds of your yoke and will make you go upright. Everyone wants that, right? But everyone wants to do what's right in his own eyes. Isn't that true? This is why, generation after generation, through the history of the Bible, you find a cycle. They serve God, then they apostatize and are brought down, they repent, and then come back and serve God, and then they apostatize, and so forth, all the way. All nations have that kind of thing that happens to them. And it happens to churches. It happens to individuals. That's why there are examples in there, see? So we can learn from that. Now here's what people don't want, beginning in verse 14. People don't want to do what is right, and yet they don't want God to execute judgment against them. And yet they claim God to be their God, and God is supposed to be the head of this nation, and every state's constitution has in it referencing Almighty God. Now, when you bring God into your life, he's going to hold you accountable for it. Because God demands that our yes be yes and our no be no. Okay? So notice, but if you will not hearken to me and will not do all these commandments, anybody keeping, how many are keeping the Sabbath? Very few. How many are keeping the holy days? Virtually none. How many are trying to keep all the commandments of God? How much murder, how much thievery, how much lying, how much breaking all the commandments of God, idolatry and so forth, okay? Verse 15, and if you shall despise my statutes, and if your soul hates my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, so that you break my covenant. Now he's given three ifs in a row here, right? That's for us to choose. I will also do this to you. I will even appoint over you terror. What's the war we're fighting right now? War on terror. Mm-hmm. Consumption, burning fever, consuming the eyes, causing sorrow of heart. We have so much sickness and disease going on today, it is absolutely incredible. And so here comes the most... the poorest president we have ever had and offers everyone medical assistance from cradle to grave. As long as you're breaking the commandments of God, all that medical assistance is not going to do you any good because you go your way, do your own thing, live your life the way that you live. God is going to hold you responsible for it. I know I talked to a couple the other day. Said, pray for this person. He just had his kidney removed. And I said, was it his right kidney? Yes, I said, well, the right kidney also helps process sugar in the blood. Oh, he's a diabetic. See? People don't even have the basic laws to take care of themselves. And then we've got all the problems of the adulteration of the food. Hey, listen, brethren, unless Christ returns, as Jesus said, there shall be no flesh saved alive. Okay? So he says, I will also do this to you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, burning fever, consuming the eyes. Oh, by the way, I also read another report. You take certain heart medicine, it gives you glaucoma. See? Take care of yourself. And everybody is brainwashed to go to the doctor by every ad on television showing any kind of medicine that they have there. Oh, go to your doctor, go to your doctor, go to your doctor. Well, if you do, ask him how many patients he has killed. Now continuing verse 16, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. We've seen that happen too, and it's going to happen again. Now here's what is going to happen if there's no repentance. See, when these things come along, there needs to be repentance. The only official that I know that really repented was the governor of Georgia. When they had the drought and they had just a few days of rain left, he got up publicly and he said, Lord, we're confessing our sins to you and forgive us. We know we have the drought because we've been sinning against you. Bam, rain came almost immediately. See? But you think that any of the religionists would do that? Well, maybe Franklin Graham in sort of a weak way would do it, but how many would do it? Huh? Stand up there and say the whole nation needs to repent. We'll show you how a nation needs to repent here in just a little bit. See? Verse 17, here's what people don't want. And I will set my face against you. Do you really want God to be your enemy? Really? You know, how strong are you? Shall the created say to the creator, I don't have need of you? See? Shall the created say, I hate your laws, I hate your commandments, I hate the things that you have given, and God says, I've given it to you in love, I've given it to you for your good, I've given these things to you for a blessing. I want to bless you. I want to give everything that you want and need. But you don't want to love me. You don't want to obey me. So I must judge you, because that's part of the covenant. And God judges all nations as well. Okay? Set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. And they that hate you shall reign over you. That's what we have right now. And you shall flee when none pursues. Now then he gives another if. See, he expects repentance here. Whenever these things come along, God expects repentance. That's what God wants. And if you will not yet for all this hearken to me, which implies then repentance, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. What's the pride of our power? Our money, our military, our way of life, and our government, correct? Can God break that? Yes, he can. I will make your heaven like iron and your earth like brass, and then send, as he says there in Deuteronomy 28, blasting and mildew and hailstones. Sound like the weather report we've had recently? You know, hailstones the size of softballs? Well, biggest hailstones are yet to come against the enemies of God with the last plague there in Revelation 16. Hailstones weighing a talent, 180 pounds. Now, if men think they're all big and strong and that they can defy God, when that hail comes down, stand out there and shake your fist at God and see how long you will last. Okay? Boom! You know? One hailstone and you're nothing but just a speck on the ground. Okay? And your strength shall be spent in vain. Isn't that what is happening? People are working and working and working. They can't get ahead. They can't improve. They can't do what they need to do. And your land shall not yield its increase. That day is coming. And I really think pushing all of this ethanol through all the production of corn that they're doing, I really think that when they get to the peak production and they're bragging about how good they are doing, there will be a massive fungus that will hit all the cornfields that are producing ethanol, and now we have no fuel. All right? Neither shall the trees yield the trees of the field yield their fruits. And if, now notice, here's another if. God is giving a chance all the way along. I mean, all you have to do is look south of the border where the chaos is going on, right? Where they've got idolatry. They have total false religion, where they've got a lot of demon problems, drugs. That's why they're fleeing across the border, those who don't want to be there, try and get out of there so they can get away from it. But the drug cartels are ruling Mexico right now. And what are they doing? Going to a town, round up all the police, lop off their heads and use them for soccer balls. See? So Mexico's being judged. Sudan is being judged. All the Arab nations are being judged right now. So God says here, verse 21, and if you walk contrary to me and will not hearken to me, I will bring 7 times more plagues on you according to your sins. So who's to blame? The government? Yes. The religions? Yes. The educators? Yes. The people? Yes. Everyone's to blame. But we also have to understand one thing. Now, I'll let you read the rest of it here, because it gets really, really heavy. So I'll let you read the rest of it. Okay. Now, the thing we need to understand in all of this is that people look at things and they look at degrees of sin and they say, well, these disasters came or this happened to them because they were sinners. Okay. Well, what does the Bible say? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? Yes. Okay, come to Luke 13. Now, some may be more responsible for causing it than others, but on the other hand, we have the choice, are we going to obey God or not? And God also, through Psalm 91, shows that he can watch over you and protect you, even in the worst kind of circumstances, see? But here's also part of the lesson of the book of Job. His 3 friends came and judged him and accused him of things he never did. And that's why human beings are. You see something happen, and you judge in your mind, oh, that happened because they were bad people. Well, not like the poor woman walking around the block in her neighborhood, and four dogs attacked her, was eating her, and her husband came home to rescue her, and he got caught up, and they ate him too. Well, Jesus gives an example here, verse 1, Luke 13. Now at the same time, there were present some who were telling him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Killed him, took the blood, mingled it with the sacrifices, threw it on the altar. Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? Oh, no. I tell you, no. But if you do not repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's why we need to be in an attitude of repentance toward God every single day. We've got to overcome the sin within. And that's the only way it's going to happen. Then he gives another example. And he says, or of those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you suppose that these were debtors above all men who dwelt in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But if you do not repent, you shall all likewise perish. See, so when these disasters and things happen, we need to understand God is judging the whole nation. And God is the one who knows all the hearts of people. So we shouldn't be judging them. We'll look at some of the other causes here in a little bit. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back after the break.